This is Not Quite Dead,
a Gal Pal horror movie discussion podcast.
We do deep dives on our favorite scary movies.
But sometimes we really just like to keep it shallow.
I'm your host, Kate.
I'm Megan.
Get ready for all the spoilers. Megan, have you seen Skinamarink?
Oh, man. No, I haven't squeezed that in yet. And I've been meaning to because you told me you saw it. And your opinions on it were not great. So it made me want to watch it more.
Well, I won't spoil too much then because you haven't seen it. And it is a very new movie. It just came out at the end of 2022, early 2023, depending on what theaters you're near. But Skinamarink and Paranormal Activity, the movie we're talking about today, have quite a bit of overlap in some areas. They're both found footage movies, and they were both filmed on a $15,000 budget.
What? That is so little. Like, this is like 10 or so years ago, right? When Paranormal Activity was made on that budget. Like, what the hell? What did Skinamarink look like? I need to see this.
Oh, I am looking forward to you watching Skinamarink. Paranormal Activity came out in 2007, and so that would have been 15 years ago.
Man.
Wild enough. I know. So with inflation, yeah, Paranormal Activity had a little bit more funding to supported, but if any of our listeners have seen Skinamarink and want to give us their thoughts on the similarities between Paranormal Activity and Skinamarink, let us know in the comments. But I'm going to spare us in here because Megan hasn't seen it yet.
I'm surprised that they're still able to get away with found footage movies.
Me too. You would think that the magic would be gone by this point. And I have a lot of critiques of Skinamarink, so I'll pivot back to Paranormal Activity.
For sure.
It somehow works in Paranormal Activity, even though this is, what, 8-plus years after Blair Witch?
Yeah, and they were really spitting out found footage films like left and right. There were so many, and so many were just not good. You could see CGI in them very obviously. It very obviously looked fake, like a faked found footage, whereas Blair Witch certainly did not. And Paranormal Activity really sells itself the way it's been filmed. It does a great job.
It does. I think that part of the found footage working so well has to do with the cast. The cast is just very similar to Blair Witch, just unknown actors and actresses.
Even still.
I mean, no one can name any of the actors from Blair Witch or from Paranormal Activity. It's a really smart casting choice that it's happens true. To work out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it more believable that these people are actually missing. Even though we know by now, like, that's not the case, but it helps. It adds to it. A little bit of mystery.
It does. And it was really scary watching this when I was in high school and then again when I was in college. But on rewatch for this episode, it really lost a lot of its scariness for me, unfortunately.
Ugh, what a bummer. Yeah, Kate, I'm actually really glad you pointed that out. I wasn't going to say it. I hate to admit that one of the three movies that actually still scare me doesn't really do it for me so much anymore. This movie traditionally freaks me out when I watch it in the dark. Blair Witch still scares me, and Hereditary. So yeah, watching this in the daytime certainly did not help. And also, it's not a very deep movie. And so I spent a lot of time just focusing on the characters, like really honing in and paying close attention to what's going on, and Micah in particular being kind of annoying. And it did sort of made me lose a little bit of, it lost a little bit of luster in my eyes. So I'm going to need to give it a break after this.
I think you and I are going to be in full agreement in our discussion of this movie, because same for me. I think because I knew what beats were coming, and even knowing like, okay, at about 3/4 of the way into this movie, things are going to ramp up. Like, because all of that was gone for me, it let me really focus on the characters as well and how they're interacting with each other. Some of the like acting, I even found myself like really looking at how their house was decorated. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yes. It was just like taking me out of,
oh man,
taking me out of it in some ways.
Yeah. Well, I am certainly champing at the bit to kind of tear into this movie a little bit out of love. But let's get a quick plot summary so that we can do that.
This movie is ostensibly the found footage of Katie and Micah, who were recording strange occurrences that have been happening around Katie. Katie and Micah have recently moved in together, and she has revealed to him that she has had some kind of ghost or entity or just strange supernatural occurrences happening to her through her entire life. And so this movie takes course over several weeks where Micah has set up cameras around their house trying to capture these events happening around Katie. And through this experiment, Micah is disbelieving and a little skeptical. Katie is very worried. She does not want to go through with this. Or if she does, then it's just to prove that something is happening and that she's not crazy, but not to do anything more than that. And as the days go by, the ghostly events are ramping up because the entity seems angered by their attempts to capture these happenings on film, culminating in an event that leads to Katie being possibly possessed by this ghost. We see some of this not on camera, and killing Micah and then disappearing, which we do know because of some great title cards at the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie that Katie has not been seen since, and that this footage was released to the public from the benefit of the families of Katie and Micah.
Spoilers.
So many spoilers.
Katie and Micah are the worst part of this movie. And I remembered that coming into it, like that the beginning 15, 20 minutes are just sort of miserable because you're getting to know these characters. And I hated it even more this time.
They're not good characters. This happens to me sometimes when I watch movies that are centered around a couple. This is a couple that's starting off already in strife. And I cannot for the life of me imagine what this couple does together for fun or why they like each other.
Yes. Thank you. They don't really seem to have anything in common. They don't do anything. They just hang out with ghosts all day. Like, and Micah, throughout the movie, he is also repeatedly going against Katie's wishes. So I'm, even there, I'm like, what does Katie see in this guy? Like, what's so great about this guy? He doesn't seem to be taking anything you're saying seriously.
I agree. I think that Micah is worse than Katie. I think that Katie's character is really thin. Both of their characters are really thin. Katie at least is given a hobby.
Katie likes to craft. Yes. We got to see some gal pal time. So I did enjoy that this time around. I was like, oh, that's me and Kate.
Yes. I know. And her friend over who's just like, you're being a dick, Micah. I was like, yeah, Katie's friend. Yeah. He is being a dick.
Katie's friend is a good hype man, just like my friend, Kate.
Yes. Micah, who is willing to spend a ton of money on all of this fancy equipment to put around the house to try and capture ghosts, and then does not actually seem to believe in any of it.
Yes. It's like he's only interested in capturing this ghost when it's him doing it, even though he has no fucking clue what he's doing and he doesn't believe in it. It makes no sense. I get so irritated.
It's very irritating. Katie tries to even bring in experts. She brings in Dr. Friedrichs, who is
a haunting expert, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then they get a referral to a demonologist.
Right.
And so Katie is like, we have people who know what to do. And Micah is like, absolutely not. I am not contacting any of these people. And I'm like, then what are you doing with thousands and thousands of dollars of equipment around your house trying to capture this ghost? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's got like some sort of complex about it. Like, it has to be him. Okay, but like, side note, all these. Okay, so we get a guy who specializes in hauntings. And he can't really deal with demons. So he needs to call another specialist. I love that you use the word referral. Like it's like going to the doctor. Does the world really need all of these specialists in a bunch of made up things? like what is the difference? What is the real difference here? I mean, in the movie, obviously, that's not what they're positing. This is all being posited as real. But I just find it so funny that there are people who specialize in different parts of paranormal activity.
Okay, hot take here. I am like 1,000% behind specialization in this regard. Because I think,
like, for memes.
No, I think that like someone who is like, oh, I am here to help you with your like Casper level ghost, where it's like a human has died and their spirit is tied to this place. And so I'm going to help you free this spirit. We're going to help the spirit move on, versus someone who is like, I believe that there is an actual literal hell that is full of demons, and those demons want to like attach themselves to humans to sow chaos in the world. Those feel like very different specialties to me.
They do. And I mean, it makes sense for a film, but I'm talking about like real life, like exorcists and people who come to bless your house or like perform some ritual or whatever. Like, why? Not why, just I guess I just rolled my eyes a lot when this was happening this time, because I was like, oh my goodness, like, dude, just help them. You're fine. This is just, it's just a stupid, I don't know. Never mind. I don't know where I'm going with this thought, Kate. I just thought it was really funny.
Well, he seems like he has a good sense of self-preservation, at least, because he's like, this is like a big deal and I am not going to be the one to help you with this.
I did love that. And he told them, okay, this is what also pisses me off about Micah. He said that it feeds off of negative energy. Like, the more negative energy it gets, the worse it's going to get. And so what does Micah do? Get a bunch of fucking cameras, the exact opposite of what his girlfriend is saying, and stresses her out like every day.
Yes, Micah just does not take any feedback from Katie. He doesn't take any feedback from her friend or from Dr. Friedrichs. He is just like on his own mission to try and figure out what to do with this ghost, to the point that he buys a Ouija board, and
which she also begged him not to do.
She was like, do not bring a Ouija board in here. And then I was like, Are they not going to talk about this Ouija board like lighting itself on fire when they're not around?
Yeah, that seemed to get overlooked, strangely.
I also thought that it was like silly that up until like most of the way through the movie, Micah was just trying to capture evidence of this ghost. The flower for the footprints is a big one for me. When it's obvious so much earlier in the movie that there is something negative going on, like I was just wondering, how much proof does he actually need? Like, what is he looking for? Is he trying to get it, like the entity actually on film, and then he would be satisfied?
I got the sense that he thought he was dispelling it somehow. Like, by capturing it, he could outwit it or outsmart it. It felt like a half-baked plan, but that's the sense I got from it, was that he wanted to be the one to make it stop. And
he's so cocky.
Yeah. I don't know if that's right or not, but that's just what that's the vibe I got from his character. He didn't want to listen to anybody.
I don't think that Katie should totally get off scot-free.
No.
Here, I don't think she's as bad as Micah. Micah drove me absolutely crazy. But there was an argument that they had in the movie where he was like, hey, maybe before we moved in together, you should have told me that there was like a demon following you around.
No kidding, right? I'm like, girl, you knew about this? Oh, man.
So my question to you is, at what point in a relationship do you need to disclose your batshit crazy beliefs?
That's a hard question to answer, because if you have batshit crazy beliefs, you may not realize it. So I would want to say like day one, like day one, you should just be yourself. And that way the other person can get a good sense of if it's going to work or not. Nobody's going to do that, though. God, no. I can't imagine revealing my true self on day one date. When should you have, but in this scenario, Katie is living in a reality where she is being pestered by a demon and it's been following her entire life. And I imagine it has been doing things to her, right? The first time we actually see it, there's like just some keys on the floor, right? Like where it didn't make sense. So things like that, I can see her telling Micah and him just sort of laughing it off or being like, okay, my girlfriend's a little nuts, but I'm not going to leave, right? I never got the sense that the demon was really malignant towards her until Micah amped up the negative energy. But I would imagine she should have told. I think she should have told him that this is like happening pretty early in the relationship.
I feel like there's a moment early in relationships when you're talking about like, do you believe in an afterlife? Do you believe in supernatural stuff? And like, it's like kind of a way to like suss out like, oh, do my fundamental beliefs match up with this other person's fundamental beliefs? And that's a really good like segue for her to be like, I do believe in an afterlife because I've had a ghost chasing me my entire life. He seems fine, kind of. I mean, I feel like they're implying that he was the reason why their house burned down when she was a kid.
Possibly, but it didn't seem. Did they outright come out and say that in the movie? Or
no?
Does Katie seem that's what caused it?
I think that I interpreted that. It wasn't anything that was explicitly said by Katie or Micah. It was around the scene where up in the attic. Oh, it's so creepy.
It is creepy.
Up in the attic, there's the picture of her from when she was a little girl, and it's burned around the edges because it should have been lost in the fire, but the demon kept it.
Yeah. That was... that's a bit gray for me because it wasn't clear that Katie believed that the demon caused the fire. So in that sense, I would say like Katie doesn't necessarily know it's been malignant to her yet. So she, I would imagine she would still come out and say like, hey, weird shit happens to me. My family burned up in a fire and you should just know about it. Like, I don't know how that conversation would come up. Like you said, probably talk about your religious beliefs or something before you move in. But yeah, I think that would be fair. I think that would be fair to bring up, but would you feel like you need to bring it up, especially if it's not malignant?
Oh, man. But then thinking like, oh, I'm going to be exposing this person to, it's like almost like a health issue. Like, let's say every time you ate Italian food, you like projectile vomited everywhere.
Oh, man.
You probably want to like warn the person like, hey, if we're going to live together, I could either never eat Italian food, so you can never cook it or anything, or if I do eat it, then I projectile vomit everywhere and then we have to clean it all up. Like, you should just like warn the person that that's what they're in
for.
They're
gonna get vomited even on, though, yeah.
Exactly. Like, this guy is gonna get some ghostly happenings.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's gonna be non-consensual. Like, non-consensual ghostly happenings are gonna be happening.
Yeah, he needs to be prepped for ghost rape. I got the sense that she had mentioned it, but didn't really explain it. And I wasn't really sure how much I could fault her for it, because the whole thing sounds insane. Like, how do you make somebody believe that you don't just believe this, that it's real, like that you've seen it? That would be rough. And I'm imagining her like, explain. I mean, Micah's, honestly, I'm very much a Micah. I'm very skeptical of this sort of stuff, like to an extreme. So I don't know how she would convince me if we were dating and I liked her and we were going to move in together. I'd be like, eh, okay, whatever. It's weird, but I can overlook it. So I don't know. I don't know, Kate. It's a tough one.
It's funny. I do think that on a first date, I'd want to be like, everyone's laying down their political convictions. Like, I need to know who you voted for in the last three elections.
Yeah.
And then, but like ghost stuff and all of that, I'm like, that can wait. You can like take your time on that stuff. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. It's really not first date material. I mean, we should talk about all the ghostly signs that happen, because that's exactly what is so frustrating about Micah, is that he sees all of these ghostly signs and ignores them.
He's given such a gentle ramp too. You already mentioned the keys on the floor. The first few nights where things are happening, Micah's pretty giddy about it because it's like nothing. It's a door gently moving, or you know, a rumbling sound from downstairs.
Oh, I love the rumbling.
The rumbling's cool. The sound effects are cool. And when he starts getting more excitable about trying to capture more of it, that's when it starts getting more like poltergeisty.
Yeah, the more he pushes, the more it pushes back, in a sense. I mean, the first recording that we see, you see a door swing back and forth, like as if somebody is opening and closing the door. It's not like wind would have come through and done that and then exited the room and closed it. I would have freaked the fuck out. That would have scared me. That would have been enough for me to be like, I don't actually want to see this. I don't want to know this is happening next to me. And I would have stopped.
Right. Yes. It gets scarier as things start waking them up,
mm-hmm.
because it's escalating. And so the one that I found so scary was the chandelier swinging.
Yes. Anytime this thing interacts with the house, that's like, I jump. And that's why I don't want to watch this again for a while, because I want to forget what all those things are. But mm-hmm. that really creeps me out. The what scares me more than the chandelier is when Katie gets out of bed and just stands there for 2 hours. Like, she turns around, stares mm-hmm. at Micah, and just sleep stands. And that would, I would lose it. If I saw that on camera, ugh, that would scare the shit out of me. Imagine waking up to that, Kate. I would scream.
So scary. So scary. I, like, early days, like, after having Levi, I had gotten up to, like, take care of him in the middle of the night. And I was walking back into our room, and I didn't notice it at first, but then, like, out of the corner of my eye, Mike was sitting up in bed, but he had been sleeping before, and it was just so unexpected that I, like, jumped out of my skin. Yeah. It, like, totally freaked me out, because he had gone from, like, totally asleep when I got up to, like, sitting up and looking, like, he was just, like, awake, just waiting for me to come back to bed, but it was spooky.
Yeah. And that's what all of these things kind of are. They're very, like,
mm-hmm.
they're quick, or they're subtle, or they're slow, but it's, like, very unsettling.
Of the two obvious ones, we talked about the Ouija board lighting on fire, oh, which is, man. Like, so ridiculous of Micah. But his other dumb stunt was the flower on the floor to try and capture it. And they do see footprints. Ugh. And I love that the footprints are, like, so obviously not human footprints.
Yes, yes. Very demon-y. It's like the three-toed look. And
three-toed, yeah. Ugh,
does it come into their room? Do we see it actually
come? It does, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
That would kill me.
It leaves flower right up to Katie's side of the bed.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Ugh. When he started doing that, I was like, no, you don't want this, like, physical evidence. That makes it so real. Like, you can't turn that off. You can't hide that. Like, okay, this is why I love this movie, because all this stuff is really creepy. But, like, Micah would drive me. I mean, I would have to break up with him, because I'd be like, why are you making this happen more? Like, this is not fun for me.
I know. She's so mad at him for filming all the time. There's that scene towards the end where she's like, he's in here and he's just staring at me. Like, yes. She can just feel his presence. And she's like, why are you filming me? Like, why is he filming her? Like, she seems like she's, like, on the verge of a mental breakdown. Yeah. And he's still just, like, got a camera pointed at her.
Yeah. When it picks up her hair. Ooh, that creeps me out.
Mm-hmm.
She's standing up. Yeah. That thing is clearly into messing with her. And oh, I think it's really funny when it gets really mad and bangs the picture on the wall, but just over Micah's face. I'm like, yes, please start scaring this dude. Make him stop. Although it's a bit late at that point.
It takes so long for Micah to become afraid. Way too long.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he's like, okay, we're getting out of this house, it's too late. Katie's already possessed, or her mind has already been broken by this demon. Like, mm-hmm. it's way too late for them.
It drags her from the bed. Like, it gets really mm-hmm. invasive towards the end. And I wasn't necessarily expecting that. Like, I was pleased, but I was like, oh, how'd they make it look so good? You know, like, it looks really good in the way they filmed it. Which mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about, but yeah, that scared the crap out of me. It left bruises on her. Like, this thing is bad news.
I know. I would have wanted to be in a hotel so much faster than these guys.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it. the ending is really scary. Finally, Micah like wakes up and gets involved in all of this stuff going on. Katie goes downstairs. You hear her screaming and he goes downstairs after her. And then you hear the demon come up and like really like slowly plod up the stairs. And it sounds really, really creepy. Throws Micah at the TV. And it turns out it's Katie. Like, Katie's been possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And her face, like, the way yeah. she stares at the camera freaks me out so much. It's such a good ending. I actually have to kind of look away when she rushes the camera a little bit.
It's so scary. I thought that it was, like, so terrifying how she's screaming. And then as soon as Micah gets to the bottom of the stairs, which we don't see, it just stops. It's just quiet for a second. And it's like... it's so like goosebump raising, like thinking about whatever he saw down there. I love that there were three different endings for this movie. There's the ending that we saw. There was the original ending, which they had shown at one public viewing and then scrapped it.
What happened? And I actually didn't know about this.
Okay. So the original ending is a lot more involved. It's Katie comes up to the bedroom alone. She's covered in blood. The next day, her friend comes by the house and sees Micah's body. Police arrive and end up shooting and killing Katie.
Okay.
Yeah. In the original. Wow. That one was scrapped. They did it at one viewing and then they were like, no, we need a different ending. And then the alternate ending, which if you have this on DVD, you can watch this alternate ending, which I think I've seen, is after she kills Micah, she comes back into the room by herself. She walks up to the camera like she does in the like ending that we've seen, and she slits her throat in front of the camera.
Okay.
So in both of the alternate endings, Katie also dies.
Right. But Katie does come back in some of the sequels, so
guess they
couldn't do that to their cash cow.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's cool. That's cool to hear.
Mm-hmm. I like the ending that they stuck with.
I do too. Yeah.
I think that it really feels like the demon does like Katie. Like in the other endings, because it, it ends with her killing herself or being killed by the police, it's like the demon is just casting her aside like it did to Micah, whereas like... thinking of a demon that's been following a little girl around when she's 8 and then for 20 more years is like, no, I'm just going to possess her to get rid of this guy. And then we're just going to like flee. We're just going to leave the scene.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, I love it.
I kind of like that too. Like I was like, this demon has had a long time to kill her. Like, I don't think it's going to kill her. I think it actually wants her or whatever. I guess what we find out in the sequels. The other moment where we get a sense of the demon's presence is when the specialist comes by to check, you know, to check on them. Katie has been like, hey, this thing's gotten worse. Come by, help us. And he comes in and immediately he's like, oh, I shouldn't be here. This demon knows that I'm here. Like, and it's not happy about it. And it kind of made me think of when you have like a weird smell or something happens in your house, or you're just around it all the time and you get used to it. And so you don't notice it anymore. Mm-hmm. But when somebody new comes over, they're like, oh, something smells weird. And I imagine that's what it's been like for Katie and Micah, like in their house, just like feeling this presence constantly weighing on them. They just like don't even notice it anymore, other than the fact that they're terrified. But I just thought that was cool when he walks in and he's like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah. I would love to talk about the found footage a little bit.
Please. Yes, it's great, actually.
It is. I think that as much as we're shitting on Micah for spending so much money on camera equipment, it yielded a really good movie.
Thanks, Micah. Micah, you are the true hero.
He has the stationary cameras set up throughout the house. He also has a handheld camera, and all of these things stitched together give us the movie. And it's really convincing. Like, it feels like what a home video stitched together in post would feel like.
All the effects look practical to the point where they don't look like effects. They look like things that you're actually seeing happen on found footage. They did such a nice job with it. The footprints appearing looks great. Katie's hair being pulled, her getting dragged off the bed. All that stuff is not that difficult to achieve. And I think that's why this movie is so good at being a found footage film. They really do a good job selling it.
They didn't try to shoot above their budget. Like, they didn't try and manage things with CGI or anything like that, because it just would not have worked.
Yeah. At the very, very end, you see a little bit of CGI on her face when she, like, kind of turns into the demon. And I don't think it looks that great, because you can tell, but it's so little. And at the very end that I'm like, okay, that's fine. I get it. They had to do that.
Mm-hmm. Earlier this season, we talked about how the Frighteners had a really long production schedule.
Oh, boy.
It was like 8 months of shooting.
It was 6 months, I think, right?
Oh, it was 6 months.
I forget. It was many months. Many more months than it should have been, that's for sure.
It was many months of shooting. This movie was filmed in a week.
Holy crap. That's amazing. Oh, my God. Kate, we should make a movie. We have a week together coming up, I'm sure.
We do. We should definitely make our own movie. I mean, the leads were only paid $500 a piece.
Shut up, Kate. For a week of work? Wait, back in 2007?
In 2007, $500, not bad.
Oh my God. 500 divided by 40. That's $12 an hour. All right, that's probably not that bad back then.
It's still higher than the federal minimum wage today.
Oh, shit. Wow, guys. Wow. So we should make a movie, and we could pay somebody $500 for a week of shooting, and we would still be above the federal minimum wage.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's a little dark. Interesting. Wow, that's so fast. They did a great job. Great job, guys. I can't say the same for all of the sequels, but this one I thought was pretty top-notch found footage.
Yeah. I mean, this one really leaned into it being a shoestring budget. Of course, they made a million more sequels because this one grossed $193 million at the box office.
Wow. That's like basically saying I invested nothing in this movie and got $190 million, whatever it is. Like, $1 million.
Yeah, the budget is a rounding error on the gross. Like, it's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
I mean, critics and audiences loved this movie when it came out. I think that maybe people were skeptical that it was just like ripping off Blair Witch.
I know I was.
It has an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm not surprised. I think that's very fair. I think, yeah, because the characters are so irritating, it does not deserve to be in the 90s.
The characters are a little hard to watch, but I mean, I think that for a found footage movie, it kept the runtime really tight. The plot is really tight. Like, it doesn't like spin off in weird directions. There's only a couple of characters. Yeah. It's mostly the Katie and Micah show. We talked about the effects. I just think that, like, they went in with such a clear vision and just like knocked it out of the park.
I agree. And it's so rare that you get a good found footage like this. So I still love it, even if it is a little less scary to me now. I will put it away for another decade or so, and I will pull it out again and re-enjoy it in the dark.
I think it's fitting that this episode maybe comes in a little bit on the shorter side, considering this movie is a nice and tight, what, 84 minutes?
Yeah, they kept it tight. So did we.
I don't think that we can say more about how much we love this movie. We love it so much that we don't want anything to tarnish its memory. So make sure to watch this one if you haven't.
In the dark. And we will see you 2 weeks from now for Evil Dead Rise, new movie this year. Can't wait. This was Not Quite Dead.
Check out our other episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at Not Quite Dead Podcast and on Twitter at NQD_podcast.
Follow our blog for bonus content at notquitedeadpodcast.com.
Thanks for listening.
And happy watching.